Fourth objection. Moreover, the demons are some things. But God is not in the demons, for there is no coming together of light to darkness, as is said in the second epistle to the Corinthians. Therefore, God is not in all things. Huh? But against this, wherever something operates or does something, there it is. Huh? But God operates, acts in all things, according to that of Isaiah 26:12. All our what? Doings God has done in us. Huh? That's a very important text that Thomas is always quoting. Huh? You know, that we don't do anything without what? God in some way doing in us. Huh? You know, it raises all kinds of difficulties about understanding free will, right? But even free will. Huh? Mm. And of course, it's interesting that Aristotle, in the, I think it's the Eudemian Ethics there, where he talks about the beginning of our deliberation and so on, and willing, comes from outside, comes from God. Mm. So even Aristotle, the pagan, if you want to call that, sees that down, that God is the beginning of our doings. So he says, I answer, it should be said that God is in all things. Huh? And he starts to first negate the ways in which he is what? Not in things, right? Before he arrives at the way in which he is in all things. So he's not in all things as a part of their what?
Essence.
Yeah. So God is not the soul of the world or something like that.
Okay.
Nor is he in all things as an accident, right? So he's not in me like my quantity is in me, my knowledge is in me, my shape is in me, my health is in me, right? And all the other accidents. Not in us and those that way either. Neither my soul, nor my body, nor my accidents, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But as an agent is present to that in which it, what? Acts, right? Okay. For it is necessary that every agent be joined to that in which it immediately acts. Huh? This is acting through an intermediary. And by its power, it necessarily, what? Touches that thing, right? Okay? Now sometimes Thomas will explain this word touch a bit, right? Because when a body acts upon another body, it physically touches it, right? Huh? Okay? But then we keep the idea of touch for acting upon something, even if you don't bodily touch it, huh? And so, you know, Thomas always points to our way of speaking there when we say, I was touched by his situation or whatever it was, right? You feel sorry for somebody, right? Say, well, it's not touching in the sense the bodies are touching, right? But that they're acting upon your what? Your heart was acted upon by their misery or whatever it was, right? You felt pity or something for them, right? Okay? So, you could say there's a contact of power, but not necessarily of surfaces. In fact, God doesn't have a surface. So there can't be that kind of contact, right? But there can be the contact of power. Once in the seventh book of Natural Hearing, which the multitude call the Physics, he proves that the moved and the mover are necessarily what? Together, right? Huh? Now, when Einstein's talking about wonder, right? He talks about how his wonder was aroused as a little boy when his father brought home a magnet. And the magnet seemed to be moving the metal filings without being in contact with them. And that seemed to him strange, right? And of course, maybe there are things that we don't know about, right? What they call fields and so on, right, in physics. So you don't really have action without contact, but it appears to be that when you see this. Huh? And so... or like in a magnet, you know, sometimes you bring a magnet up and the other one turns around or something, runs away, right? But the surfaces of the two magnets haven't come in contact. But there is what? Electromagnetic fields in there, right? Huh? And so, but Einstein is wondering because it seems, you know, strange what's going on here. So the mover and the moved must be together. If you're talking about what is immediately, you know, in our working through a medium, right? Huh? Okay. But if I use this loaf of bread or whatever it is to move that cup, right? Then I don't have to be in contact with the cup because I'm working through an intermediary, right? Okay. Now, that immediate idea has got to be kept here. Huh? Since God is what? To be itself, right? To his very nature, to his very essence. It is necessary that created being be his proper effect. Just as to be ignited is a proper effect of what? Fire, huh? To be fired up is something that fire does. Okay? But this effect God causes in things not only when they first, what, begin to be, but as long as they are conserved in being. Huh? And then the little comparison there. Just as light is caused in the air by the sun, and what? As long as the air is what? Illuminated, it remains. Huh? When, therefore, things have being, it is necessary that God be, what, present to it, according to the way in which it has been. So he's saying that to be of things is an immediate effect of God, right? Therefore, God, as the cause, has to be present to all things, and in a most intimate way, because he says to be is that which is most intimate to each thing, huh? And which is more profound in all things. And the reason for that is that it be formal with respect to all the things which are in the thing. It's the actuality of them all. Whence it is necessary that God be in all things and most what? Intimately, or you could say most what? Maybe in English, most inwardly, right? Okay. In the way this is the Trinitate, right? In the beginning of Boethius De Trinitate, he's talking about how he's drawn his teaching ex intimis, disciplinis, philosophia, and I think the part where he translates from the inward disciplines of philosophy. It's a very interesting way of speaking of him. And Thomas Aquinas says, when he says the inward disciplines of philosophy, he means logic and wisdom. See? Why, natural philosophy and geometry, you can, you have something more sensible, right? Or imaginable. And I suppose, you know, ethics and politics, where you're dealing with human experience and so on, that's more outward philosophy, right? But logic, which is dealing with things inside the mind, right? And wisdom, which is dealing with immaterial things and things you can't sense, therefore, right? But you have to attain and know through your mind that you can't sense the way they are, imagine the way they are. That's inward philosophy.
So that was Boethius?
Trinitate.
The Trinitate.
Yeah. So, I think intime, you can translate intimate, but
sure.
you can translate inward, you know?
Sure.
Huh?
Yeah.
And you kind of see this in St. Teresa of Avila, you know, what do they call it, the interior castles,
sure.
The name of one of the books.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you're kind of going inside yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
To what's most inward in you.
Yeah.
And if you get altogether into what's most inward in you, then you might find God, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But there might be a lot of monsters on the way in.
Yeah.
As she says, right? Dragons and other things on the way in. All your defects and sins, I suppose. Okay?
Mm.
So God is said to be in all things and most inwardly, right?
Mm.
Because he's the source of their being, and their being is most intimate and inward in them, right? And the cause must be, you know, together, right, with its effect. Huh? So God is in all things. Now, the first objection was saying, hey, but scriptures tells us that God is above all things. Huh?
Yeah.
So how can he be in all things, right? Well, he says God is above all things through the excellence of his what? Nature.